pray about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our in-studio guest in just a moment, but as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the Gospel of John, John chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Verses 1 through 15, John chapter 4. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the fact that you are the source of living water. You are our Heavenly Father, you are eternal God, you are Lord, our Savior. Thank you for being all of that and so, so much more. Father, more and more help us to grow in the need for us to recognize that you've called all of us as your people to be involved in the wonderful work of sharing the gospel and making disciples in the world. Anoint us afresh with the Spirit that would encourage us to be committed faithfully and diligently every day to be about the work of making disciples, sharing the gospel and helping others grow up in their faith. And help us to live a life full of ministry where we're giving of ourselves vessels your Holy Spirit can use every day. We thank you and we do praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We're grateful to have in studio with us Tim Todd. He's the president of the Ministry Revival Fires. Tim, thanks for joining us here on the Hour of Intercession.
So glad to be here, Pastor Joseph.
Good to have you with us today. And Tim, as we start off, we're grateful to have you with us for this first segment, but I want to just give you a chance to share both about your ministry and the project we have the privilege of partnering with you about as well.
Thank you, Pastor Joseph. Many of your listeners perhaps are familiar with the Truth for Youth Bible. It's a Bible that we publish. It consists of the entire New Testament along with powerful full-color comic stories in the front section, 100 pages, that deal with the truth about things that young people are confronted with on a daily basis, things like drugs and drunkenness and peer pressure. We deal with the truth about sexual purity, what the Bible says about homosexual perversion. We deal with abortion, pornography. We deal with things like sexting, bullying, suicide, cutting. We deal with the truth about honor. Our young people need to learn to honor their parents and honor the people in authority. We deal with the truth about the supernatural. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Here's what we do. I've got the plan of salvation incorporated into each one of these stories, and they are powerful comic stories. Mm-hmm. And so that our young people not only find out the truth about these issues, but they also find out how to give their life to Jesus Christ and get saved. Mm-hmm. On the back cover of the Truth for Youth Bible, we have the students' legal rights on public school campuses that let our young people know that they do indeed have the right to give Bibles away on campus during non-instructional time. In fact, that one is number 4. And as you can see, we put that in bold so that our young people and the school administrators will see that young people legally have the right to read the Bible in school, and they have the right to pray in school between classes. Someone said, as long as there are tests in school, there will always be prayer in school. But the truth is, our young people, darkness is shining on the public school campuses of America, and this is an opportunity to shine the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our public schools. And here's how we do it. We give one of these Bibles to every young person ages 13 to 18 years old in school who will commit to give the Bible to their friends in school that are not serving the Lord. So if there's five teenagers in one home, then I'll send five Bibles to that one home. If there's three teenagers in that home, so however many teenagers are in that home, one Bible per teenager, per household, will send them one absolutely free of charge. Now, if they want to get additional copies, and we encourage people to do that to help us get the Word of God in school and to get it for Bible clubs and for youth groups and things like that at a discounted cost of what I actually pay for the Bible, I'll send them additional copies. But they can go to, and we've got people waiting on the phone right now, and Pastor Joseph, so we can have them to call if they will agree to give that Bible to somebody who's not serving the Lord and take it to school. That number is, and I'll let you give that number out.
Okay, the number is 1-800-733-4737. Again, that's 1-800-733-4737, or you can visit revivalfires.com. And again, for any parent, whatever number of teenagers you have in the home, you can order that number of Bibles for them to pass on to another student at school.
And it's so important that our young people not only give their heart to the Lord, but they need to learn how to become soul winners. And That's a lot of our young people today, Pastor Joseph, they want to tell people about Jesus that perhaps they just don't have the right tool, or they just feel intimidated for whatever reason. And so the Truth for Youth Bible does the work for them. It's a free gift that they can give to somebody in their school that's not serving the Lord. And we like to call this legally smuggling Bibles into America's public schools.
That's right.
We're taking back what the devil has stolen from our schools. And, you know, we kicked God out of our schools in 1962 when prayer was removed from our public schools in a court case called Abington versus Shemp. And then 1 year later, in June of 1963, a court case called Engle versus Vitale, we took the Bible out of school, and it was based on this quote from the Supreme Court. They said, and I quote, "There is a danger that if the Bible is read without explanation, that it could cause psychological harm." Now, think about that. And with that statement, with that from the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court declared it unconstitutional to read the Bible and then a year before to pray in school. And as a result of it, our nation has never been the same since as a result of kicking God out of our schools. So obviously, one of the things that we need to do to turn our nation around is reach a generation of young people and also to get the Word of God back in school, where the devil, anywhere the devil, that God is not welcome, the devil will move in. And so we're seeing the tragic consequences as a result of that.
That's right. That's right. Well, again, Todd, really do appreciate you, Tim, bringing this ministry forward and allowing AFA to be a part of that. But also, it's a great way just to draw people into ministry that may think, well, I'm not in the ministry. All of us are called to ministry.
Yes, we are.
And it's a great way for us to be involved.
It is. And, you know, God has something for every one of us to do. And one thing that every Christian is to do, not just preachers, but Christians are to do, are to tell other people about Jesus Christ and share their faith with other people. And I believe that if we're going to turn America back to God, one thing we've got to do is reach a generation of young people in these last days.
That's right. That's right. And so once again, if you'd like to, if you're a parent and you have teens in your home that you want to get involved with this, please give us a call. Give this, call this number, 1-800-733-4737. Again, that's 1-800-733-4737, and order one Bible for each of your teens to pass on to another student at school. Or you can go to revivalfires.com and order over the internet. But we'd really like to encourage you to help your teens get involved with the wonderful work of spreading the gospel in the schools.
Amen. Amen. And you know, it's so important for us to realize too the importance. And I know that the ministry that God has called you to, Pastor Joseph, is it deals with the most vitally important issue, and that is if the church is not praying, if the individual is not praying, then we cannot see God do the things that He desires to do. Since the beginning of time, since Adam and Eve, since the Garden of Eden, the challenge has been that to get the bride and the groom to have clear and constant communication that leads to cohesive communion. Since the beginning of time, the challenge has been to get the bride and the groom to have deeper interaction that leads to deeper intimacy. Because if you can just get the bride and the groom to have real connection, real communication that leads to real communion, then powerful things will happen between that bride and that groom.
That's right.
And you may say, well, now, Brother Todd, you know, that's not anything to do with prayer. You're talking about the power of a bride and a groom communicating. And if you would ask that question, then you don't know what I'm talking about. Because the truth is, the bride is the church.
That's
and if
right.
the bride would just get deeply involved in intimacy with the groom, which is Jesus Christ, that incredible, his purposes will be manifested in the earth and incredible things will begin to take place. But there has to be intimacy between the bride and the groom. But I'm afraid that what's happened is we've got a lot of people that are listening that have taken on the mindset of Julia Roberts, and we've got a runaway bride. We've got a runaway bride that has forgotten the power of private prayer. We have a runaway bride that's forgotten the deeper, the higher levels that Jesus brings us to when we get alone with him. But what would happen if the runaway bride would become a stand-up and praying bride?
That's right.
Would realize that prayer is the currency for the kingdom of God. It is rebellion against the status quo. It's the miraculous moment when human impotence and divine omnipotence intersect. That's what prayer is. That's the power of prayer. Prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is a dialogue.
That's right.
It's that magnificent moment when the believer gives God earthly license to have heavenly interference.
Amen. Amen.
Now I'm going to rewind and say that again. When the believer gives God earthly license to have heavenly interference, that's what prayer is.
Tim, would you take time to pray for our listeners now, just praying about their involvement in a great outreach like this, but also just getting more serious about praying?
Amen. Okay. Amen. Father, I pray that you will lay it on the hearts of your people that are listening right now.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
The importance not only of praying for our young people, but putting legs on our prayers and picking up the telephone and calling to get our teenagers involved with spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ on their public school campus. And Father, in addition to that, I pray that you will, I call for your people that are listening right now to get more deeply involved in prayer than they've ever been before, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Spending time in intimacy with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Tim, thank you so much again for being with us today. And let me just say before we end our time, what in the next 40 seconds, what would you say to our listeners about the need for them to really take the work of evangelism and discipleship so much more seriously? What word of wisdom would you want to share with them?
Just that if they will spend time in intimacy with the Lord in prayer, he will give them, their spiritual antennas will be up where they can hear God tell them exactly what he wants them to do, exactly where he wants them to go. And, you know, Jesus did what he did as a result of spending time in private prayer. He had the public power that he needed to accomplish what God wanted him to do. The same is true for your listeners. God is no respecter of persons.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, that's so powerful to think of, too, because if ever there was someone you think might not have needed to pray, you might think, well, maybe Jesus doesn't, but Jesus prayed more than any of us.
That's right. So, and the busier he got, the more time he spent in private prayer.
That's right. Thank you, Tim, for being with us today.
God bless you, Pastor Joseph.
Thank you for listening again. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back on the other side of this break.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American. I am an American.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
This is probably the oldest question there is concerning the things of God. Is it okay to ask God questions? If we look at when the angel of the Lord visited Zechariah about he and Elizabeth, he questioned God and it didn't work out too good. The angel of the Lord visited Mary. She questioned God and he gave her an explanation. So what was the difference? Have you ever heard the phrase, when you know better, you do better? I think that that was what was happening with Zechariah. He and Elizabeth weren't young and naive like Mary. They had been around for a minute and they should have known better. God takes not only our actions into account, but our motives too. It's our attitude or the state of our hearts that makes the difference. Don't believe me? Take inventory then. If the Lord were to visit you right now with surprising off-the-wall news, what would your reaction be? If your reaction isn't what it should be, then ask the Lord for help. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com. The women's ministry at my church recently had a chat and chew. It was all the women of the church, specifically mothers and daughters, but included older and younger women. The chat part was the older women, 25 and up, sharing with the younger women some of their testimonies. The desire was to help them understand that they didn't have to go through girl things alone, that there was somebody who understood where they were and had been there before. It was a great encouragement for everyone. The chew part was a time of fellowship and food. We mingled, we laughed, we talked, and of course, we ate. I came away from the chat and chew really glad that I had pressed my way to get there. I said all of that to say this: everything that you go through is purposed for your life and designed for you to help bring someone else out. Don't allow the enemy to make you ashamed of your journey so that you keep silent about how God has kept you and brought you out. Share with the younger women so that they know that they can make it too. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Prepare a table for you. So glad you made it. So nice to see you. In case you didn't notice,
you are welcome.
Yes, you are. You are welcome here. There's no resistance in this house.
You
I just wanna be.
The music of Forever Jones, the song You Are Welcome. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We're grateful to have as our phone guest for this segment of the broadcast, Ron Ball, who's the director and the president of the ministry Choose Greatness. Ron, how are you today?
Joseph, great to hear your voice. Great to be back with you.
Good to have you once again. You were on with us several weeks back and really appreciated you coming on. And just had a number of very powerful and insightful truths that you shared related to the work that you've that God has called you to, and of course the work of following the greatness of who God is. And so we appreciate you coming on. And today, Ron, I'm grateful to have you to come on, and I want to ask that you would take some time to share, just tell our listeners once again, of course, about your ministry, but then in particular, a project that you're spearheading. Would you tell our listeners about that?
Absolutely, Joseph. Thank you very much. And just to give your listeners a little bit of background, I spent 5 years as the associate pastor of the First Baptist Church in Atlanta with Dr. Charles Stanley. I was his preaching assistant for 5 years. It was a great time in my life and just a wonderful blessing. I learned a tremendous amount of from him, a lot of wisdom. But out of that came a desire to reach people outside the church. And so a number of years ago, I left that pastorate and started a ministry that worked with business groups, conventions, corporations, to bring a Christian message into the marketplace. And it's been phenomenally blessed and incredibly successful, I'm very thankful to say. But out of that has grown now our Choose Greatness America initiative. And AFA has been a big supporter of this. We've had wonderful response. The Heritage Foundation in Washington has come on board and helped us. We've gotten response from all over the United States because I believe the idea of a return to American greatness through biblical principles is really connecting with people. So my purpose, our purpose, is to put this message that we are great for a reason, and the reason is based on the Bible. We've always been a country that has lived on biblical principles and godly priorities, and because of that, God has amazingly blessed us. And if we get away from that, then we will no longer have God's blessing, and that will be a disaster. So the whole purpose of Choose Greatness America is to simply help people remember what created greatness in the first place, and how to recover that, and how to maintain that, and how to increase that, because there are certain principles that from God that make us great, and we have to keep that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so for our listeners today, if they want to, how would they go to your website?
Well, it's simply choosegreatness.com. And I'll say that again because I know it kind of goes by quick when you say it. It's choosegreatness.com. Choosegreatness.com. And everything is on there. There's a video that is primarily aimed at pastors, but any church leader, any Christian will tremendously benefit from it. It's I think you've seen the video, Joseph, and we've gotten great response to it. It's a movie-quality video on the need to be active right now in American culture for God. And then one thing I'm very excited about is we are giving away free a pastor's pack. Now, it's all downloadable. Any pastor who contacts us with their email will send them the pastor's pack. They can download it immediately. And it contains 7 additional videos that will teach basic principles of civility and responsibility and financial management, just things that everybody agrees on, but everybody also needs to remember. Mm-hmm. And also there is other information connected to the pastor's pack. They can use them in study groups. The whole purpose of this is to allow churches to teach particularly young people, and mm-hmm. we have to get that group, as you know, young people, how to be great, how to be responsible, how to be courteous, how to be polite, how to take charge of their lives, how to manage their money properly, how to someday have a good marriage. All that is very simply taught in those videos. Any church would love it, and they're free, and any pastor can get it at choosegreatness.com.
Okay. Okay, then. Well, when you were here before, Ron, I'm going to ask if you'll do this once again. You know, 20 different people might have 20 different definitions for great or the word greatness. Would you define once again for our leaders, what does it mean to be great?
You know what, Joseph, God bless you. That is such a great question. Greatness, can be so easily twisted and misunderstood. You know this. It's just easy to misdefine it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have the mistaken idea that greatness means that you're better than somebody or bigger than somebody, you have more money than somebody and more success, or you're a big Hollywood celebrity and people see you on the cover of magazines and on movie screens, and that has nothing to do with greatness. One great way to understand greatness is a combination of a biblical statement and an ancient Greek definition. I'll give you both of them, and it's real simple. Mm-hmm. The ancient Greeks had the idea that greatness simply meant you did great things to benefit other people. In other words, you sacrificed yourself, you gave yourself, you contributed your life to the benefit and well-being and good of other people. That made you great, and that made you a true hero. Now, you bring the Bible into it, and you have the same message. Jesus said, you know, I came as a servant, and if you're going to be blessed by God, then you do good for other people. You don't think of yourself. So think of it like this, Joseph, selfishness. And selfishness is easy. We all know that. It's easy even for a Christian to be very selfish and petty and self-centered and negative. It's easy. But selfishness is the opposite of greatness. Mm-hmm. True greatness means that you give your life. Remember Jesus said your life is like a seed planted into the ground, and right, unless that seed dies, it can't sprout. Well, that's greatness. Mm-hmm. You give your life for the blessing and benefit and welfare and good of other people. That is greatness.
Praise God. I appreciate you sharing that, Ron. As we start off at this time, would you share, you in the message on your website, you talk about 8 problems that can be drawn from the book of Jeremiah that cause a nation's downfall. Would you touch on those?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I'll just give a quick listing of those. They're very simple. I can do it really fast.
Okay.
For all your listeners, the book of Jeremiah is a parallel to today. When you read Jeremiah, he was living at a time in a culture when just spiritual disaster was occurring, and people were rapidly rebelling against God, and they were paying a terrible price, and eventually they lost their country. Well, I looked, and my friend Charles Stanley, I have to give him credit, Joseph. He's the one who first pointed this out to me, that in the first 8 chapters of Jeremiah, there are 8 reasons why God judges a nation. And the important thing about this list, the very important thing, is that these are not 8 reasons why God might judge a nation, and they're not even 8 reasons why God ought to judge a nation. These are 8 reasons why God has already done it. So there's a precedent. So here they are. Jeremiah, the first 8 chapters, first, God was forgotten and no longer honored as God. I mean, look at today. We use God as a curse word. It's God this, and people say Jesus Christ is a curse. And so obviously that dishonors and disrespects God. So God is forgotten and disrespected. Number 2, people became, in Jeremiah's day, more skillful at doing evil than doing good. They learned to sin very well. And number 3, sexual lust dominated that culture, which led to a epidemic of divorce, family disintegration, family breakdown based on sexual lustfulness. And then number 4, greed and deceit is a good word for it. Greed and deceit controlled finances and controlled the economy. So there was a lot of cheating financially going on. Number 5, there was spiritual confusion, which led to what Jeremiah called the abandonment of the ancient paths. They just lost their way spiritually. Next, there was an increasing inability to feel shame. In other words, people were openly sinful and did not feel any embarrassment. In fact, Jeremiah puts it very graphically. He says they lost the power to blush. They couldn't feel ashamed of anything. So the whole anything goes was happening in that culture. There was a hard-heartedness. There was a rage against other people. We talk about road rage today and all the violence in our society, all the divisions in our society. Well, that happened in Jeremiah's day. He called it a hard-heartedness, not just toward God, but toward other people in relationships. And finally, and this one concerns me, I love pastors. I've been a pastor. I am a Baptist minister myself, so I'm not critical of that fellowship. But at the same time, Jeremiah said that there was a breakdown in spiritual leadership, and many spiritual leaders, Jeremiah said, refused to tell the truth and would not get involved. And because of that, there was no prophetic voice to speak to the culture. Jeremiah was isolated, and he didn't have other people helping him. And I am convinced, Joseph, and this is not to be critical. I don't mean it in my heart that way. Mm-hmm. But if the pulpits of America really taught godly truth on all these key issues that are really vital, then I'm not sure we'd be in the fix we're in today. I think the pulpits need to show great courage and great leadership. It's something we very urgently need today.
Mm, that's powerful. That's powerful. And you shared about one example from the past. See, Craigshead, I believe, was his name.
Oh, yes, John Craigshead. Mm-hmm. When I did the research for the movie quality video, I love this guy. I would like to have met him. He was a colonial pastor during the Revolutionary era when America was just being born. Now, he was what we today would call, Joseph, you'll love this, he's what we would today call a total conservative evangelical. In other words, this man believed the Bible and he preached the Bible. He was famous for leading people to Christ. I mean, he was solid as the proverbial rock. Mm-hmm. But he also believed that the American Revolution was something God had created. And he believed that the American principles of freedom of worship and freedom of speech and freedom to protect ourselves and all these freedoms of opportunity and liberty were something God had originated. He believed it came from the Bible. Mm-hmm. So he became very active in Revolutionary War efforts, and they said he would preach the gospel. I love this. He would preach the gospel, and he'd fight battles almost with equal passion. Mm-hmm. And he's a great example. In fact, there was one pastor I read about, didn't mention him in the video, and they said he was preaching a powerful sermon one day, and God just moved in his service. I mean, just it was like a Holy Spirit moment. Mm-hmm. And they said then he stood up, and he had this robe on, this black robe, and he just tore it off, and underneath was a bandolier of bullets and a weapon and a sword, and he said, I'm now going to fight for freedom. And his whole church just stood up and began to cheer. I mean, just an incredible moment, because they really believed that the American dream was based on the Bible. It's just it's a great story.
Mm, that's powerful. Well, we have about 30 seconds left. Would you take a moment just to pray for our listeners to
Absolutely,
grow in their understanding
yes.
of moving
Father
forward
heaven,
in
we
this?
We pray that Thank everyone you, listening will get a vision of choose greatness in their own life and heart, their own church, and that you will do something miraculous today to motivate these men and women, to bless them, to strengthen them, Thank to you. Encourage them, but also to use them to bring greatness to our country through Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Our guest today is Ron Ball, the president of Choose Greatness. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We appreciate you listening in. And please pray that you'll really grasp the truths that are being shared today, because God wants to use any and all of us to do great things in this nation. We'll be right back.
With Chris Brooks.
This program is an apologetic endeavor. We tackle news, current events, cultural trends, and phenomenons from a Christian worldview perspective. Why? Because we're looking for insights into culture that will allow us to more effectively, more contextualize the gospel so that we can reach men and women for Christ.
Get equipped with Chris Brooks.
Join me Monday through Friday at noon Central Time on Urban Family Talk.
I'm Will Addison, director of Urban Family Talk. We desire to be a movement of time tellers. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, the sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the time, to know what Israel ought to do. In these perilous times, God is raising up a people of discernment who will see, pray, and act. We sound the alarm as watchmen. We cry aloud that God's people may be activated for his service. Join the movement at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Dr. Tony Evans says if we can change our focus, we can change our future. He'll explain with the help of this illustration as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
It was the 1996 Olympics. Her name was Carrie Strug. She had to get about a 9.5 for the American women's Olympic team to win the gold. She was the last person, the vault. She had two jumps left. She runs up, she flips, but she twists her ankle on the way down. And she is in pain, excruciating pain. And she was the last hope for an American gold medal. She gets up crying and holding her leg. But in the corner, her coach, Carrie, I know you're hurting. I know you're in pain. I know you're struggling, but I believe in you. Don't look at your ankle. Look at me. Keep your eyes on me. Focus on me. You can do this, girl. Carrie stumbled and ran as best she could, and she came down. Whap, boom. American gymnastic team got a gold medal. She was asked, how did you do that? As long as I stopped looking at the pain and kept my eye on the coach, I was able to do what I never thought I would be able to do. I believe the author of Hebrews says in chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who before us has gone ahead of us to clear the way for us. You say, I don't think I can make it. Keep your eye on the coach. But you say, I can't see Jesus. That's why there are brothers and sisters all around you whose job it is to keep you pointed toward Jesus.
Learn more about the power of encouragement in Dr. Evans' series, The One Another's, available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Music of Covenant Church, the song Let My Heart Dance. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. In the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 33, starting at verse 1, it tells us these words. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way and does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Verses 1 through 9, Ezekiel chapter 33. Father, again, we thank you and praise you for our brother Ron Ball. Thank you for the ministry, Choose Greatness. And Lord, thank you for ministries like this that stir us to be the people of God, that stir us to be the salt and light you've called us to be. Ministries that stir us to be people given to prayer. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer, that we would be prophetically and faithfully and courageously speaking up, standing up, and doing what you want us to do to be your vessels in this day and time. We thank and praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, our guest today, our phone guest, is Ron Ball, the president of Choose Greatness. Ron, in this last portion of our program, would you share a little bit more about the message? If you would touch on both the words you had to share about Elijah, and if you have time, Charles Spurgeon as well.
Thank you, Joseph. And by the way, let me say that I was so touched in my heart by the passage from Ezekiel that you just read about being a watchman, mm-hmm. because that is a powerful call to action from God himself.
That's
so
right.
God bless you, Joseph, for bringing that into the broadcast. I thought that was wonderful. But in answer to your question, sometimes people are uncomfortable or uncertain whether or not a Christian leader should be involved in the culture, especially politically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want to have anyone misunderstand what I'm about to say, because I believe that the number one priority of any Christian leader is to win men and women to Jesus Christ in personal relationship, to lift up the cross and the resurrection, and disciple people as followers of Christ. Nothing is more important than that.
Mm-hmm.
But in Matthew 5, Jesus said that we are to be salt of the earth and light of the world. So we're also supposed to have influence for God in the culture. And if we don't have influence in the culture will rot. It will decompose. That's why we are salt and why we are light. Now, you mentioned Spurgeon. Spurgeon is one of my favorite Christian leaders of all time,
mm-hmm.
A totally godly man who lifted up Jesus. In fact, he's still known as the Prince of Preachers. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And his sermons, even today, even though they were from the mid-Victorian era of England, his sermons today still just ripple with power. They just pulse with power and influence. And one thing about Spurgeon that I love, and this is what you're referring to, is that he said, this is a quote from Spurgeon, one of his sermons. He said this in the pulpit on a Sunday. He said, quote, "I often hear it said, do not bring religion into politics. But this is precisely where it ought to be brought and set there in the face of all men as on a candlestick," end quote.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dan Bebbington is the senior lecturer in history at the University of Stirling in Scotland. He says that Spurgeon was vigorously active in lectures and public appearances to teach a biblical perspective on current political, social issues. In fact, nothing was off limits to Spurgeon. He tested everything but the Bible, and because of that, he had enormous influence on his culture and on his society, because he brought the Bible to bear on everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. This is the time when Karl Marx had written the Communist Manifesto, and communism was just beginning to be known and to grow. And Spurgeon found out about this. He called it German socialism, but it's actually what we now call communism.
Mm-hmm.
And Spurgeon found out about this and actually made a public statement that communism, he said, would eventually pollute the masses of mankind and lead them to overthrow the foundations of society. So he was very conscious of everything. I mean, if Spurgeon were alive today, he'd be standing up and with great clarity be saying, the Bible says this about abortion, the Bible says this about homosexuality, the Bible says this about political involvement, the Bible says this about poverty. I mean, he'd be bringing the Bible into everything, which
mm-hmm.
is what I think we still need to be salt and light. So I love Spurgeon. He was a force for God, and he was a force in the culture, and he saw no contradiction in those two.
Hmm. Hmm. And you also mentioned that someone that was a close associate of Marx said something pretty.
Oh, yes. Oh, I love that story, Joseph. You're my goodness. You've got this better than I do. Friedrich Engels was a man who his family owned a factory in near London, and he actually financially supported Marx and his family. And most scholars believe he helped Marx write the Communist Manifesto. Well, this is a true story, amazing true story. David Aikman wrote a book called The Delusion of Disbelief. And he says that he said this happened. He said one evening, this is the way the story goes. One evening, Ingalls was visiting the Marx family, and he stayed to play a popular Victorian game with the eldest Marx daughter. The game was called Confessions, and the object of the game was to confess something in answer to a question. Now, when Ingalls was asked by the daughter to confess who in England he hated the most, remember, these are the founders of communism, he said, who in England do you hate the most? His instant answer was Spurgeon. They feared and hated Spurgeon because he was such a force for God. So, I'd like the devil to see all of us as such a force for God that he fears us. That's exactly what Ingalls was saying when he hated Spurgeon most of all, because Spurgeon really brought biblical principles to bear on everything.
Amen. Amen. And, Ron, you know, just a number of the things that you're speaking about just are reminders that God can get lots and lots of mileage out of one faithful man or woman.
Amen. Well, I wish I'd thought of that, Joseph. That's powerful. Thank you. That's great.
And, you know, all of us, you know, just, and I keep going back to the title of your ministry, Choose Greatness. You know, when we just decide we're going to courageously, and I think as you use the word courageous, I think in this day and time, there's such a huge need for bold, courageous leaders just to do that, to do what we know we've been called to do and not be afraid to do it. But God can do so much through all of us if we really do that. Choose greatness, choose simply to speak the truth in love, but boldly and courageously speak it too. So,
amen. And in love, and you're right, but we don't want to neglect the truth either. There's a balance, and you're totally right about that.
That's right. Now, we have just a few minutes left, though. Would you share a little bit about what you had to say in the message about Elijah and just the importance of being an advocate?
And also, there's something I want to add that just, you know, you and I pray over this broadcast, and I just felt something I should add in a moment. I'll do it very quickly, but I'll answer your question first. The video basically makes the point that we in America right now are at a Jeremiah moment. In other words, Jeremiah is the one who highlights God's judgment in the Old Testament. Well, we are at a Jeremiah moment. But remember the story of Elijah and that famous contest on Mount Carmel when he called the whole nation to account, and he said, what is your decision? Will you serve the Lord? What will you choose? Choose you this day. You know, choose today who you're going to serve. And there was just a spiritual revolution, revival, an awakening, and the whole nation turned back to God just from that one moment when Elijah was took that kind of a stand. So what I say in the video, and I think this is important, is that, yes, we are at a Jeremiah moment, but we have an Elijah opportunity. And that's because Elijah was a man of courage, but he was also a man of action. He did something. So we can't wait for somebody else to do something. We have to do it. And this is the idea that came to me a moment ago. And, Joseph, I had not thought of this, so just, like I said, just moments ago. But one of the things that we do in Choose Greatness is part of our purpose is to equip Christians with the techniques and the training and the tools to be very effective in their jobs and in their homes and in their relationships so they can be a more effective influence for Christ. And what I've done for a lot of years, and you know a little bit about this, I've spoken for the last 20 years in business conventions where I've done a biblical perspective on everything from sales training to leadership management to financial management. And we've gotten phenomenal response to this, just incredible response, because God has blessed it and honored it. It's certainly not been us or me. But the thing that I want to point out to your listeners is that last year, I and my team put together what we call power packs that people can download on our site. There's a fee involved because it took a lot of work to do this. We put that back into the ministry. But they can download an entrepreneur pack, a relationship pack, a facilitator pack. In other words, there's one pack that teaches you how to read a person like a book. That's a real skill. There's another pack that teaches you how to manage money. That's an important skill. There's another pack that teaches you the foundation of great relationships and great marriages. So what we want to do, we want to make people great in their jobs, great in their professions, truly great in their homes and their situations, their churches, their relationships. In other words, we want to elevate their game. We want to make them so good that it will make it easier for them to be an effective witness for Christ. And one of the benefits and blessings on a secondary level is that they'll be better at their jobs, they'll have better marriages, so they'll get the benefit of that as well. So all that's also available at choosegreatness.com. We don't want to just say to people, be great. We want to give them the tools of greatness to do the job.
Mm. Well, I appreciate you sharing that, Ron, too. And I tell you, in just the last few minutes of the broadcast, would you pray for our listeners to really grasp just the basic truths you're talking about? Because, again, any believer can be used mightily of God.
Amen.
If we recognize that. So would you pray for our listeners, please?
Absolutely, absolutely. Father in heaven, it is such an honor, joy, delight, privilege, and pleasure to pray for these listeners.
Thank
Lord, I know there are men and women listening to this broadcast right now who struggle. Some of them are living in financial fear. I pray, Lord, you will show them how to get out of their financial bondage and be financially free. I pray you will lead them with great blessing to a life of security and stability and prosperity and freedom. I pray for marriages that you will give them a renewal of romance and closeness and love. I pray, Lord, for children and grandchildren of the listeners that they all will come to Jesus as Savior and they will become great young men and great young women who will do great things, not famous things, but great things. They will be givers and contributors and helpers. And Lord, I pray for Joseph in this broadcast. Lord, bless this man of God. Bless this good man and bless his outreach, and may it grow and have an anointing of effectiveness all over the country. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ron. Tell our listeners once again your website. One more time.
Thank you, Joseph. Choosegreatness.com. Choosegreatness.com. Choosegreatness.com.
All righty. Ron, thank you so much for being with us on the broadcast today.
Thank you, Joseph. God bless you.
All right. Thank you. And again, hope you'll take time to go to that website again, choosegreatness.com, and check that out. Again, insight that can be very helpful to any believer, any church, any pastor. Hope you'll do that again. Choosegreatness.com. Thanks for listening. As always, we appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.